All right. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up. Don't turn it in it or turn it in because I don't want it. Don't give it to me. Don't turn it in. Open it. All right. You ever hear a pastor, they say, turn in your Bibles. No, don't turn it into me. I want you to open it, right? Open it. Open it up, your own Bible. I hope you have your own Bible. We do have the church Bibles. Open it to page 414, 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, and as you're going there, I wanted to give you guys a little bit more about me and why I'm here and stuff, and I gave a little touch on it in an announcement a couple weeks back. For those of you watching, my name is Trent Dudley. I am the new youth director here at Calvary Community Church of Tampa. I'm filling in for Jesse, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. A little bit of a reason why I chose to come here, give you guys a little background. I was in Georgia, Athens, Georgia. I was working full-time for FedEx Express, not Ground, not USPS, not UPS, not those guys, not Amazon. I don't like any. I'm just kidding. FedEx Express, I was a delivery driver full-time. And, I mean, I got used to the work. It was a little bit hard. I enjoy it. I still work part-time for them. But going back, I was working full-time, and I was putting in 50, 60-hour weeks. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wanted to bring home a paycheck to be able to pay the bills, to be able to support my wife and my little guy, Noah. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I personally was not satisfied. I was not satisfied. I was putting in time at Northside Baptist Church, where obviously Yankee used to be the pastor. Now Freddie Coyle is the pastor there in Athens. And I was putting in time there. I was serving, and I handled the finances. I'm actually thankful to Calvary, who taught me a little bit about that, about the financial work. I helped handle the finances. I helped. I taught a Sunday school class, and I helped with a youth group there called The Rock instead of Ranch. And I put in as much time as I could at the church, but I just wasn't satisfied. I wasn't happy with where I was at with the Lord and with my own study and with the time I was available to put into the church. So I heard about this opportunity. Jesse put it out on Facebook. He was seeking for someone to become the youth director of Tampa Youth Ranch because he had so much on his plate. I had heard some say he was actually getting a little bit overwhelmed. You know, it can be a lot when you take on so much in the ministry. And he put it out there, and I thought about it, and I was like, no, I'm not going to go to Florida. I don't want to go back to Tampa. That's what I said. I don't want to go back. I said, no. I don't want to have to hear more of Louis Hernandez's puns. No. Anyway, so that was my initial thought, right? I don't want to move. I'm comfortable, right? My family's here on both sides of my family. My in-laws are originally from Wisconsin, but they moved to Athens due to job situation. But anyway, my family was there. You know, everyone's there. My mom is not doing the greatest, you know, with the kidney issues. But I thought, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. No. So I was like, but I'll still be open to it. I'll still be open. I'm not closed off, you know, like closed off to the gospel. I'm not closed off completely like some people can be. But anyway, after some time passed, a couple weeks went by, and my wife had brought it up to me. And I think I saw a second post where he was trying to get someone to come down here. I started to pray over it because I wanted to make the decision through prayer, not just through what I wanted or didn't want. So I prayed over it and prayed over it, and my wife prayed over it. And then I started to talk to some faithful men and get their opinion on, hey, here's my situation. I'm not really satisfied, but I'm comfortable, and this is where I'm at, and I'm okay financially. And I asked a man who wouldn't care either way if I went or if I stayed, right? I asked his advice, and I asked him to pray for me. And I asked some more men to pray with me and to pray for me to help me make a good decision. And eventually I came to the conclusion that what would be better, where I'm at, not satisfied, or diving off into the deep end, having a little bit of faith and, having a little bit of faith and going for something new, going for serving the Lord. And so I decided, let's give it a shot. Let's prepare. Let's try it. told the family I was thinking about going, and I told my friends. I talked to Freddie Coyle. I talked to others. Some of them wanted me to stay, but most of them said, well, if God wants you to go, then you should go. And so as time went by, I prepared and I prayed over it. And some of my prayer was like, well, God, if you want me to go, help me go. Show me the way. If you don't want me to go, please just don't let me go. That was my prayer. And I concluded that I believe the Lord wanted me to come here to Tampa. And I'm very thankful to Calvary Community Church for taking me in as family. I'm thankful that I was a little bit familiar with Tampa, with the area. I wasn't completely lost when I got down here. But I'm currently the sitting youth director, and I'm also part-time at FedEx. And I do coordinate your media, as you see. And if you see the Facebook posts, the YouTube posts. But I have enjoyed doing it. I've really enjoyed it. The time I put in here at Calvary, it does not feel like work. And it's just, I enjoy it, and I love it. I love the people. I'm very thankful for you, and I hope you know that. Wednesday night, I feel like I can just spill out my heart to you, and I'm really thankful for you. And I wanted you to know that. But that's where I am. But backing up a little bit, I came to the conclusion I wanted to go, and I went. And it was a tough transition. I had to sell my house, buy a new house, and I had to go from full-time at FedEx to part-time at FedEx, and I had to secure that. I had to comfort my wife through the process, you know, make sure it was okay with her. My parents were a little discouraged because my mom's going through a hard time. And throughout the process, it was a little bit stressful, not going to lie. And I started to get a little bit of an itch of discouragement and loneliness along the way. And it was a little bit difficult when I got down here. You know, it settled in here recently, actually, that my family is not with me down here. My closest of friends are not with me down here. I really did take a leap. And it started to get a little discouraging. You're like, well, Trent, you got two jobs. You're making good money. You know, you're at the church. You're loving what you do. Yes, yes. And I enjoy it, and I'm thankful. But I started to get a little lonely. I started to get a little bit discouraged. And that can get, I was down. And it started to be a little bit difficult. And so I started praying and seeking the scriptures of how I could get rid of this loneliness, how I could give myself a boost. But, you know, you go throughout life and between work and church and family and trying to find the balance, it can be a little bit difficult. I was struggling. I was discouraged. I was lonely. And still do get that way sometimes. But with that, you're looking in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll pause that story there for the moment. Looking in 1 Kings 19, and look at verse 10. This is about Elijah. You have Jezebel and Ahab coming after him, coming for his life. You see verse 10 says, Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, Elijah, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, verse 11, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And skip down, and you have the encouragement to Elijah, and you go down to verse 18, and you see, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. You can see Elijah, I gave you a short portion here, but you can see Elijah got discouraged. He got lonely. He was going through a hard time. Ahab and Jezebel, they were after him. They wanted to kill him. He had been doing different miracles and different things, and he was discouraged. He was lonely. He was going through a hard time. Elijah, the one who did all these miraculous wonders, Elijah, through the power of God, he did it. He saw God work. He saw all these miraculous things, but even Elijah got discouraged. Even Elijah got lonely. Go to 2 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, go to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19, and I want you to see verse 1. Elijah got lonely. There's some other people that got a little bit lonely, a little bit discouraged. 2 Kings 19, 1 says, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord." Well, what do you hear? Rabshakeh and the others, they were coming after him. They wanted to take over. They wanted to take his land and take his people and take everything. Verse 2, "And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." You can see here Hezekiah is discouraged. He probably felt very lonely. He was probably even questioning, like, God, why is this happening? He was discouraged. But you see toward the end of the story that God eventually wipes them out, the Assyrians, and 185,000, and they die, and he sees victory through God. But Hezekiah, great King Hezekiah, who tore down the altars, who did all this great work for God, who did so many mighty things for God, even Hezekiah got discouraged. He got lonely. He had been going through a hard time. Turn to Job 19. You see a trend with the chapter number. Turn to Job 19. I didn't plan that. Job 19. That's better. Job 19. And look at verse 6. Elijah got discouraged. Hezekiah got discouraged. Did Job get discouraged? Oh boy, if there's someone in the Bible that got discouraged. Look at verse 6 of chapter 19, page 581 in a Scofield or a church Bible. "Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me." He's talking about the Lord here. "My brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." Boy, Job would make a great movie. Somebody make a movie. Oh, man. But Job, you can see his agony. The poetry here, the words he uses here is fantastic. I love the way Job is written. I did not like going through poetic books class, Mr. Gilbert, sorry. Job was discouraged. Job was going through a very hard time. He lost his children. His wife was not happy with him. He lost his servants. He lost his buildings. He lost all of what he owned. He got boils all of his body. Job was going through a hard, hard time, and he was discouraged, and he felt lonely. His friends, his four friends were just piling accusation, accusation. It's because you sinned, Job. You sinned, Job. You sinned. And Job stood there attempting to defend himself all alone, lonely. And he even felt that God was against him. The feeling of agony there, Job felt alone. But you see later in Job's story, there's hope. He had it restored unto him twofold in many cases. He has twice as many children. All those children which he lost, they're in heaven today. But God gave him just as many children. His wife came back to him, and just as many servants. And you see he was encouraged there. Go to the New Testament. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. That's not chapter 19. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How's it going there? You know, I was talking to Jesse the other day about this podium. Totally unrelated with my message, but this podium. And he wants to get a new one. I think he wants, Steve might be making a new one. I don't know if that's true, Steve, but if you are, awesome. But he wants a new one. I think he wants it to have different designs, but that doesn't matter. I was telling him, hey, we should get a glass podium. We should get like a glass podium. Northside has one up in Georgia. We should get a glass podium. And he's like, no, we can't get a glass podium. No. And I was like, why not? They're cool. They're like new age. You know, I was just being silly, right? I was messing with him. He said, no. And I was like, well, why not? And he was like, well, they'd see my legs shake sometimes. Don't tell him I told you that. Don't tell him I told you. You know how I responded, though? I said, well, we always see you pick your nose, so what does it matter, right? Are you laughing live stream? I hope so. No, that has nothing to do with my message, but you laughed. 2 Corinthians 11. I hope you're watching, Jesse. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, 23, page 1238 in a Schofield or your church Bible. Starts as, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 lashes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in the water. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Is it going to stop? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, so on and so forth. Paul, man, he went through the ringer in his time here. You think Paul ever got lonely? You think Paul ever got discouraged? You know, he prayed for boldness. I would say he probably prayed for friends that would actually stick around. You think of Demas and others and Mark. Thankfully, Mark came back. But you see in other scriptures, we'll go to it, where he felt so alone. He felt so discouraged. People had left him. He had been going through such a hard time. Yet we see Paul finished his race. He finished his course. He fought the good fight of faith. But he got lonely along the way. He got discouraged along the way. He was going through hard times. We have Elijah, Hezekiah, Job, Paul. These people we look at in the Bible and think, man, they had it all together. They had it all together. No, they got discouraged. They got lonely. They went through hard times. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to acknowledge it. Do you ever get lonely? Do you ever get lonely at work? At school? I got one student in here at least. Do you ever get lonely at home? Do you ever get lonely at church? I would say the odds are high that on a Sunday morning we have about 100 people in here. Maybe there's someone we could encourage. I'm guilty myself. Maybe I could be a better encouragement to someone here. We have a lot of people that come through the door. Maybe a lot of us are lonely, and we don't even know it. Are you lonely when you look at the news? Are you discouraged and lonely when you look at the condition of the world? Are you discouraged and lonely at all the people that have COVID right now? all the difficulties going on, all the sickness. It seems like just a big wave of sickness hit. I went through a little bit of something, but I think my youth has helped me. I've just kind of been groggy lately, but I think I'm beyond any sickness. But it has hit like everyone. I don't know. It doesn't matter what strand it is. I mean, it matters, but it seems like COVID has just wiped people out. You got the flu wiping people out, and you got the cold and everything. But COVID, is it discouraging to you? Do you ever feel lonely in the world seeing all this? You know, there's this new idea coming out. It has happened. Facebook has transitioned into being called Meta, or the Metaverse, and this idea, and it's all backed by cryptocurrencies and different things. It's all technological. It's things you can't see, you can't obtain, the non-physical. But you know what this is transitioning into? Not to get too much off of my point, but it tags along. This idea of the metaverse and things, it's completely non-physical, but people are going to immerse themselves into it, into technology. You see the laptop, they're going to be looking at screens and immersing themselves into it with like VR technology, where you can just like, it's like you're in it like 4D, you know what 4D is? You got 3D glasses, you got 4D where you feel the experience. That's going to be the new trend in the coming years for a lot of the youth and people. But when you think about that, they're immersing themselves into nothingness obtainable. And all of their friendships, all everything they will see, everything they will do, everything they will look at amounts to nothing. And they will be doing it virtually, get it, virtually, all alone, lonely. And there's one more thing I want you to consider as I bring up this list to you. Do you ever have feelings or get discouraged about the idea of lost people? Because lost people will eventually be lonely forever, all alone in hell forever. More on that later. So I have another question for you. In lieu of that list, how can we combat loneliness? How can we combat loneliness? I'll get back to my story in a little bit, but how can we combat loneliness? And I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. I got 4 points here. They all start with an R. Arg. There you go, Louis. Point one, recognize that your Savior is with you. Well, first of all, you got to know that you have a Savior. Well, how can you know you have a Savior? You have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died for you. He paid for your sins. He was buried. He rose again. All your sin got paid. And if you trust in Him, you get everlasting life. You need to recognize that your Savior is with you. Turn to John 6. John 6. Not John 19, but John 6. I'm sorry, I left 19 in the dust. John 6. Look at verse 37, page 1123 in a Schofield. John 6, verse 37 says, "All that the Father," this is Jesus speaking, "all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day." So you can have comfort knowing that your Savior is with you. He is the one holding you. I love the way Mr. Gilbert illustrates the wallet illustration when he gets toward the end. You know, the sin's been paid, and he grabs us, right? God is holding on to us. Right, our Savior is with us. Our Savior is holding us. When you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have comfort and you can help defeat this loneliness knowing that He is with you at all times. Turn to John 14. John 14. Page 1136. Look at verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Listen to this, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit. When you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, Ephesians chapter 1 makes it very clear that we are sealed with the Spirit. He dwells inside us. And 1 Corinthians makes it clear that he is the temple, or we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is in us. Therefore, we ought to sin no more, right? As he was speaking to the Corinthians. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He's with us. He goes through everything, right? You jump in water, he's in the water with you. He's there with you. Turn to one more passage. I'll just quote this one. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can have comfort knowing he's with us. So recognize that your Savior is with you. Number two is rest in the promises of God. Turn to Titus. Rest in the promises of God. How can we combat loneliness? Rest in the promises of God. Titus chapter 1, 1283. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Promised. Number one, we can rest in the promise of eternal life. We can have that assurance, that comfort, knowing that we have eternal life. We can rest in the idea of knowing that the rapture is going to happen any moment. Right now, right now, right now. Any moment, right? We can rest in that promise. It's going to happen. It's not a mid-trib. It's not a post-trib. It's a pre-trib rapture. It could happen any moment. And if you have a problem with that, talk to Dr. Gilbert. No. Rapture can happen any moment, and we can have comfort in that. We can have comfort in, we can rest in the promise of rewards. One day, whenever we get to heaven, we'll stand before God in the judgment seat of Christ, and we will have eternal life, but based upon what we've done for him, he's going to judge us on those works, and we can get rewarded based upon that. We can have comfort knowing that we will be rewarded one day. Number three is realize there will be no more separation. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That day of the rapture is going to be a magnificent day. I'll be able to see my grandma again. I'll be able to see the grandparents who trusted in Christ that I never really got to know that well, but my grandma made a big impact on me, and I can't wait to see her again. I'll be able to see other family members, other friends who I've lost. You'll be able to see those who have trusted in Jesus Christ in your family, your friends. That gentleman Mr. Gilbert brought up who may not be among us anymore, he's trusted in Jesus Christ. Where are you going to see him again, Mr. Gilbert?
As soon as we go.
In the rapture, we can rest in that. Realize there's not going to be any more separation. Revelation 21:4 says he's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and we'll be with him forever. No more separation. And my last point is rewards are coming one day. So stay busy. One last scripture here. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. First John 2, and look at the last the second to last verse in the chapter. Verse 28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Keep working, keep staying busy, because rewards are coming one day, and we can look toward that, and we can be comforted. And we can know that God is going to remember what we do here on earth, and we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be lonely. If we recognize he's with us and we keep serving him, we realize we have the Holy Spirit. We rest in his assurance of his promises, And we don't have to hang on to that loneliness, that discouragement, that despair. As I've been serving down here, I do get lonely at times. It really hit me the other day. I was discouraged. I was down and out. I was like, my mom's really not doing well. My dad called me yesterday and gave me the news about the hospital, and he was in tears. I don't hear my dad cry often, but he was in tears over the phone call with me. And he just about couldn't get it back together. But it can be discouraging. It can be lonely. It can hurt. It can sting at times. I wanted to tell you a story before we look at our last scripture here. I went up after Christmas recently. I went to, you know, Freddie Coyle. His son got married on the 28th. So I went up there for a couple days, all alone. I left Cheyenne and baby Noah here, and she could have burst out with that baby any day, thankfully not, while I was gone. But I went up to Georgia for the wedding. Josiah is Freddie's son. He asked me to be a groomsman. And I got to the wedding. We were preparing and everything, and the wedding was great. It was wonderful. And after the wedding was over, they came back, and they were changing. And you know, his wife wanted to get out of her dress, and they were going to drive up to North Carolina to have their honeymoon and eventually to Virginia. So they wanted to be comfy. So the wedding was great and all that. So I was talking to Josiah afterwards as he was changing, and I sat down with him. And in that moment, I realized I broke down. I broke down in front of him. I said, you know, if there was something I just wanted to tell any believer right now, it's this. And I told him, Josiah, you're embarking on a new journey. You're leaving your family. You're going to do something new. You're going to serve the Lord. You're going with your wife. You may not know what you're going to get into. And it is going to be lonely at times. It is going to be discouraging at times. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. But Josiah, you need to stick it out. You need to keep up. You need to remember the word of God. You need to remember the things your father taught you. And you need to stay faithful because you've trusted in Jesus Christ. And as a believer, he is with you no matter what. And in that conversation with Josiah, I began to realize these things. That's kind of what I based this message off of, that he is with me every step of the way. And I can trust in him. I can trust in his promises. And one day, even though I'm away from my family now, even though there's hardship, even though there's a lot going on in the world, even though I get discouraged, even though I'm going through a hard time sometimes, even though I get lonely, one day it won't be that way anymore. And we can look toward that. We can trust in God and trust in that promise. I want you to turn to one last scripture. I said 1 John was the last. I want you to turn to Jude. Going to that wedding was encouraging. It was bittersweet, but it brought out in me a little bit of that lonely feeling, and it made me search the scriptures for some encouragement. And I wanted to share that with you tonight, but I want you to look at Jude, chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Go to Jude, and it makes mention here in verse 20. We'll start in, 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, I picture that literally. You know, I made the mention earlier on that list, the lost people, right? They're going to be lonely forever. Hell is a terrible place. Have you ever just sat and tried to think about it? It's terrible. It's literal fire burning hell. Literal. There's a verse here in Jude that makes it sound like it's dark, like those flames don't light the place. But regardless, the worst thing about hell is you're alone. You don't get to see everyone else. Sorry, internet, you are alone. You're not there with devil, pitchfork, and everything. You're not there with your buddies partying. It's alone, loneliness. And you and I have the opportunity, and one of what can be the greatest encouragements as a believer, to share the gospel with others who may be lost, and literally like pulling them out of that lonely flame into eternal life. We share the gospel with them. And sharing the gospel makes you realize that it helps encourage you rather than be discouraged. When I share the gospel, that gives me a boost, that gives me a lift up, because I know that this person, if he or she trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior, I get to see them again. They're going to be another friend in heaven with me. But I wanted to share that with you tonight, that we'll get discouraged sometimes, we'll get lonely sometimes, and we'll go through hard times, but we can realize that our Savior is with us. We can rest in His promises, we can trust in Him, and rewards are coming one day, and one day we'll all be raptured up, unless we pass away. I hope it happens tonight. We'll all be raptured up with Him, and we'll be together forevermore, and we don't have to be lonely anymore. We don't have to be discouraged anymore. I'll be with Mama in heaven.